Welcome, all in this room and the balcony and the halls and perhaps in the downstairs overflow area where there is sound. So if you're standing and decide you would need to be seated, I think you can find seating downstairs where you will be able to hear the service. We gather to celebrate the life of Ruth Rusk Dalton Anderson. Thank you for coming to be part of this service. For those who are unfamiliar with Quaker worship, I will tell you some of what to expect. The service will be about an hour in length. After I finish speaking, there will be a long period of what Quakers call open worship, a time of quiet. During this silent time, some may be praying for Rusk's family and for the healing and warming of God's presence. This is a time also for reflection, remembering, and sharing. At times, an individual may be moved to speak, a memory, a prayer, song, or some other message that has arisen. I realize that some may be having difficulty hearing, and I want to ask at this time if there are remaining assistive listening devices out in the hall. Can someone check? And if you're someone who could use an assistive listening device, if you would raise your hand, if there are some, one will be brought to you. If you are led to speak, to share in this meeting for worship, please stand or raise an arm and wait for a microphone to be brought to you. We want all present to be able to hear. That will best happen if you hold the microphone about 4 inches from your mouth and speak into the very center of the head of it, like you were going to lick the very top of an ice cream cone. Please keep any messages brief, as we are many, and it is possible that quite a few may want to speak. Please leave a few minutes of silence between messages, so that we can fully absorb all that is said and also have time to rest in God's loving presence. Neither laughter nor tears are out of place. During this open period, at some point, there will be a musical piece, Shenandoah. The service will close with a handshake, and a handshake up here at the front of meeting where the three of us are will signal you to offer your hand to shake with your neighbor. At the rise of meeting, there will be a reception in this area and as well as downstairs and outside if it's nice. We hope that you can stay to visit, share memories that did not find a place during the service itself, and have refreshments. When you get up to go at the close of the meeting, please exit by the south doors. And if you're going to get in a refreshment line, go to the left if you need to leave by that south exit. And then you can re-enter from these doors. And that process will keep the line moving so that all can be served. Let's join together in thanksgiving for Rusk Anderson. God, we thank you for her life.
My name is Alan Gibbous. I started attending this meeting when I was 8 years old, and one of the things that was most interesting to me was a boy named Renner Anderson. Rusk was Renner's mother. Something odd happened to me on September 2. In this neighborhood, I was out walking my dog around Linden Hills Park, which is about a block down that way. And as I was walking, I saw something that I'd never seen before. It was a fox. And at the time, I didn't know that Rusk had died, and I didn't think that there was any significance, except it was quite a striking visual experience for me, because the animal had such dignity, and it commanded such respect. I found out later that morning that Rusk had died, and again, I didn't make any connection, but this afternoon when I came in and heard the song about the fox, there was a connection to me, and it seemed kind of like God's way of saying something big happened today, and I want you to take note of it, Alan. And so I do take note of it, and I feel so blessed to have had so many years of friendship with the Anderson family and the many gifts that they have given to me and to this community. But I'm just struck at this fox and its connection to Rusk.
I've been a friend of Rusk's for over, 62 years. 60 years. I remember the first day that she and I came to the meeting house. I noticed her and I went over to greet her, and I realized that we were both in the same state of pregnancy. So I said to her, "Oh, do you have other children?" She said, "Yes, 4. And I said, "Wow, that's a big family." And she said, "Well, it's a start." There's so many things I remember about Rusk. Particularly, I remember one time when the whole family came out to our house in Orono, which was pretty rural at the time, and we had acquired an old cider press and put it back together again, and we were enjoying making cider because we had 40 apple trees, and Gordy's boss also had an orchard and invited us to come and get apples from their orchard. Of course, the best cider is from the windfalls. Well, we had the whole Anderson family out, and it was amazing to discover Rusk's zest in doing this. She gathered all her brood together, and we gathered up pails and pails of apples and brought them back, washed them, cut them and put them into the grinder to grind up, and then into the press, and watched that cider roll out, and caught it and strained it, and then enjoyed it at a wine roast. And it was so much fun, that whole family together with ours.
Last night when our family was gathered together and my brother mentioned how we all had memories of my mother, individual memories with her, and how we as a family, now as I sit here and think about it, we all had collective memories of her. And as I see all of you gathered here today, I think of all of your memories with her, and how she just touched so many people. It was wonderful hearing Barbara talk about when our family went to visit her, because that's a whole other memory with my mother. And it's wonderful to know that she knew so many people and touched so many people and lives on in so many people.
Fortune of living next door to the Anderson family when we first came to Minnesota in 1966. We knew they had a large family, and I think it may have been one of the last times when all 10 children were still home, because Renner hadn't gone off to Haverford yet. And I remember one of the girls came over and said she'd like to borrow some eggs. They were having pancakes. And Cassie said, "Well, that's fine. How many do you want?" "A dozen." So that was the beginning of a relationship that we were incredibly blessed by. There were many trips across the country. There were canoe trips together, fishing trips with the boys. And I had the privilege of sitting up with Arnie in his kitchen some late nights as he was contemplating developing Minneapolis Children's Hospital. It was during the year, I think, that he'd taken off from the clinic, that he spent literally traveling around the United States and Canada. I think he visited every children's hospital in order to put a program together that would bring dignity to the structure, and he certainly did. So we were just continually blessed by that relationship, and little did we know when we first came, what a lifelong friendship that we would have, and how it would impact our lives and certainly the lives of all our children. We loved Rusk very, very much. She will remain, I think, as has been said, very much alive in our memories and in the memories of our children. So thank you, Andersons, every one of you.
Arnie Anderson, Rusk's husband and father of the family. And I can remember when we were looking for a church in 1950, and we visited a few, and some, well, we came to this church because this is a meeting house I grew up in before it became a Quaker church. And Gordon Tollefson was talking that day, and it was announced that he was going to have a meeting for people who would want to come for 4 nights on the issue, on the problem. I'm sorry. on Quaker testimonies. And we made a tremendous investment at that time in a babysitter to take care of our children for 4 nights. And we were so impressed that it seemed that we had found our home for a church. And I want to read a little bit. I just came across this or thought of it the other day. Would you like to get the last page, please? The last paragraph of Rusk's biography is, she said, all these things for us have been integral and life in our life experience. And she takes a couple pages to mention the various places we visited in Africa and South America and Asia. And then she says, altogether these things for us have been integral in our life's experience. Through all of this, the philosophy we have developed through being friends has guided us in the way we function both at home and abroad. So it was very meaningful to us to come back to have our funeral service for Rusk at this place. Thank you all for coming. It's a tremendous last service for our family without Rusk.
And I did not know Rusk until the last 10 years. Amazing to say when I hear the long times that people knew her. And had known Lucinda for a number of years, and then my dear friend Karen Allness had sent me to see Arnie in the early 80s when I worked at Children's Hospital. And that was one of those amazing conversations where Arnie concluded that I was a seeker in life, and I walked out thinking, you know, how did he figure that out so fast? That's amazing. But then I met Rusk and began to read her poetry and visited with her maybe 10 or 12 times over that time period of time, and began, the picture of Arnie began to take a different shape as I recognized what a highly intuitive woman she was. She bridged her academic knowledge with this wonderful communal family kind of expression that went through everything, and I admired her deeply and was so happy to have had that chance.
My name is Mary Lufkin-Batinich, and I've known Rusk and Arnie for probably 45 years, I'd say, and was with them in the beginning of Children's Hospital. And I'd like to say how much those of us who are involved in Children's Hospital as board members and employees and other, the family loved Rusk. I can't remember a major event without Rusk's presence when she could be there. And to honor that, Children's Hospital renamed the education wing the Arnie and Rusk Anderson Education Wing, because we know how much her knowledge and love of children meant to all of us in this community and beyond. And I think of the tens of thousands of children, in addition to you 10, that have benefited from her love of children.
My name is Toru Okada. I'm from Japan. My family has been enjoying a good friendship with Dr. Anderson's family for many, many years. And of course, Mrs. Anderson has played a major role of it. I have come to Japan just to attend this meeting, representing all of my families, my wife Kimie, my sister, my daughter Shiho, my son Sho, and my sister Eiko, just because we wanted to pay tribute to the memory of Mrs. Anderson's. We pray that God will give you the strength and comfort and support your family through this time of grief. Thank you, Andersons.
Hello, I'm Elizabeth McKibben. I grew up down the street from the Andersons. We're at the other end of Browndale, and many a time Colin, Tyler, and Whitney were over at our house, and then that dinner bell rang, and boy, they had to hustle to get home because there was one seating, and that was it. And if they didn't make it, there was no dinner, and they ran a tight ship that way. And Rusk was always at the center of that and always the heart of the family. We really appreciated having all the Andersons in our family.
I'm Mitch Heinzig. I worked with Arnie down at Children's, and he was my mentor, always filled with insight, directing me to do this, to do that. And he was a big help, especially doing one of my jobs. Since we both retired, we've had the opportunity for numerous lunches, and again, during that time, he's always insightful about some particular topic. And he admitted to me that the brains behind him were Russ. And he shared with me a book of Russ poetry that she wrote when she was a young teenager. And if you ever read any of that poetry, you realize how insightful she was about the world around her. And now I know what Arnie meant, why he was so successful. Rusk had a lot to do with it.
Hi, my name is Natalie. This will sound silly. I never met Rusk when she was living. I had a very loose connection with Arnie. And forgive me, this is the first time I've been to a meeting. But I'm thrilled. I was thrilled to read the stories about Rusk and the program that were so beautifully written and hear these stories. And I'm happy to share this story with you. My husband's grandfather is in this room somewhere. Art Rafshel. So Art and Arnie were childhood friends. I think they've known each other since they were 12. Is that right? About the time that they were 12. So the first time I met Arnie was at Art's 90th birthday party about 6 or so years ago. And at that time, Art pulled me aside and he said, "Natalie, you have to meet my friend Arnie. He's the smartest man I know," which is quite possibly very true. And he said, "And by the way, he founded Children's Hospital." And at the time, I was a medical student at Mayo Medical School in Rochester, and he knew that I wanted to be a pediatrician, so it was a very wonderful person to meet. But to truth be told, Art, I thought you were pulling my leg. I had no idea who Arnie was and what wonderful things he's accomplished in his lifetime. But I had a very nice conversation with him by the fireside, and we chit-chatted, and 6 years later, after I'd finished medical school and my pediatric training at the U, I started working at Children's Hospital where I am now. And I thought, golly, I should look up this Arnie character and see what he's all about. So I did. And I came to realize what an incredible man he is and what an incredible family he and Rusk have grown together. So it was that connection that I tried to call Arnie, and I got in touch with him and said, "Hey, we should have coffee sometime." So I brought lunch over to his house, and it was on the day that we were having lunch when Rusk fell ill. So I became quite intimately familiar with his family, I guess, on that day. I made a few phone calls, and it became quite apparent how, without ever having met Rusk, several things. Their family is incredibly close. A few phone calls and all of a sudden everybody knew what had happened. Pam, their nurse, said, "Oh, it's just so beautiful here. They just celebrated their anniversary. There are kids and grandkids coming in and out of here all the time. There were pictures up on the wall that their grandkids had painted, and just lots of love in that home." So I'm thrilled to have met Rusk in the final days of her life.
Thanks. I'm Louise White. The Whites came to the Minneapolis meeting about the same time the Andersons did. And I just want the Anderson family to know one thing that maybe they know or maybe they do not know. Every one of the Anderson children were a special friend of my four children. And Brian was a special friend of Tyler's. Tyler adopted a Korean child and named him Tyler. So Tyler's name will live on in the White family forever and ever, I hope. Thank you.
Rusk was our neighbor, our friend, and my mentor. I'm Lois Swanson, and Bill and I moved across the street from the Andersons in 1969. We bought the Gleason's house, and Mrs. Gleason said, "Well, across the street are the Andersons. He's a pediatrician, but you can't be his patient because he's full." And then she said, "And Rusk has 10 children, and she can't be your friend." However, I've lost. Hello. We ended up being Arnie's patient even before we'd moved into the house. My child had an earache and a temperature, and I went to his door in the middle of dinner and said, "What am I going to do?" And he said, "I'm going to take you down. My black bag isn't home. I'll take you down to the office." And he gave his penicillin and got him through the night. So we were his patients. And Rusk was busy, but she was a friend. And whenever I had a question, I only had four kids, at that time only three, and she answered my questions with such depth and principle that I remembered just about everything she said. As I say, I didn't have lots and lots of conversations, but every one I wanted to write down, it made such a difference. I only came home from a trip to Greece and came over to see Kristen because she'd been in the office because she had diarrhea. He pinched her skin to make sure she wasn't dehydrated. We knew we were in the right place. When we moved, we got to take Lucinda with us for one of our years in England. And we've come back from California for many years now and spend at least a day visiting with the Andersons, catching up with all their family and all their principals. And we go home and try to do the best we can to be as close to, well, we're not even close, but we keep their principles in mind. We understand where they're coming from, and all of our kids, because we send the message back on down to our kids, have been influenced by the Andersons' principles, their morals, their love for one another, and their love for family. And we're glad Rusk has written down some things that we can keep with us. What she said to me, I'll never forget. Thank you.
It's an honor here to be here today. My name is Almond Kruger. I lost my father in 1962. My father went to school with Arnie and Art. When I heard Art's name, I called John Robinson, another guy of the class. And over time, it was an honor a couple years ago to take dinner to Arnie and Rusk. And at that time, I saw through Arnie how much he really honored and praised and was delighted in Rusk's work. And he gave us that day a book that he had published of her poems. And we have it in our home and are honored. And I'm honored by the gentlemen of this era that have really stood up in support of this country and what it stands for. And I'm honored. Anybody else that might have known my father, I would love to speak to you, because I've lived my father through the gentleman that I've so far mentioned, and I'd like to talk to them again today. So thank you, Arnie. I appreciate it.
My name is John Schwartz. I've known Arnie most of my life. We lived in the same old neighborhood over in the old country club. He was our family pediatrician. Our boys were in the Boy Scout Troop 114 at St. Stephen's. And for one period, we both served in Africa with Håkon Torgersen's organization, Minnesota International Health Volunteers. And when we came back, the organization had run out of money. And we were having lunch with Arnie and Rusk down at the old freight house in Stillwater, and we were bemoaning the fact. And Rusk said, "Okay, boys, what are you going to do about it?" So we decided that we would go to work and try to raise the money. We worked for a year. We raised $1 million from USAID, and we got money from various corporations and individuals. But there would be no MIHV today, which is now called WellShare, without Rusk pushing us to go ahead and finish this project.
Hi, my name is Bob Rom Johnson, and I've been a friend of Jeff for many, many, many years, since elementary school, actually. And we've heard a lot about Rusk and what a remarkable person she was. But one of the aspects about her that really struck me was that she had a certain mystery around her. And let me try to explain this. I remember one time going over to the Andersons, as I usually did, with a hat in hand and asking for some help. I was in Boy Scouts at the time, and I was trying to get a merit badge, and it was around knot tying. And so I called up Jeff and I said, "I don't know a square knot from a bowline. Can you help me out?" He said, "Yeah, come on over. But bring a rope." So I did. And he patiently sat with me, showing me how a rabbit goes around this and then down into the hole and then back. Well, every time I tried to do it, I'd get the rabbit in the hole and it would get stuck, you know. And an hour later, I still didn't know how to do a bowline. But finally, we had to give up. And I remember going upstairs and really noticing for the first time there, I guess it would be their dining room table. I mean, it was gigantic. I mean, this table looks like it would have shown up the table that's in the boardroom of Best Buy. I mean, it was huge. And I started thinking to myself, how in the world does this family get together and eat a dinner? You know, and get everybody fed. And I just, you know, I remember walking home that night and thinking about my family. We had four kids, and there was always something happening during our dinner time. Phones were ringing, or the baby would spill the milk, or people would be crabbing about having to eat their lima beans, or, you know, it was chaos. And yet here, this family, day after day, would get a meal. Not to mention what breakfast must have been like, you know? So I thought, how do they do that? And I looked at Rusk. I don't know. I still don't know. How did she organize that? How did she put all that together? And so there's a part of me that is kind of be in awe when you're around mystery. That's a feeling. And so today I'm in awe. And Rusk is with the great mystery. So thank you.
My name is Stuart Hansen. I was a physician at Park Nicollet. But I want you all to know that Rusk and Arnie were part of the founders, the 10 families, who founded the St. Louis Park Medical Center. That was in 1951. I came there in 1971 and spent 41 years working in internal medicine. But Rusk and Arnie were always at functions. They were always very supportive. And this was, it's 20 years before they moved, or he moved down to start Children's Hospital. And I just want you all to recognize that they invested their effort, sweat and tears, but also their finances, to start a small little clinic out on Excelsior Boulevard that became now the Park Nicollet Health Services, which is one of the largest ones in the Twin Cities. Last week, I was out exercising. I live downtown, so I have a trail around the Stone Arch Bridge and up along the river roads. And I was rollerblading on those trails. And I came across a path, and there was a red fox.
Oh.
And I slowed down, and the red fox stopped, turned around and looked at me, and then ran off into Nicollet Island into the woods. And I didn't know what the connection to that fox was, but now I know.
That's great. That's great.
My name is Ann Luce, and I am have been a friend of the Anderson family for about 30-some years. Rusk is the reason I attend this Quaker meeting. She, when we talked one time about religion, you know, many years ago, she said, well, for me it's very simple. It's just the elements of faith. It's really the true simplicity of spiritual worship. And moved me to consider this home for a spiritual home. I appreciated and loved Rusk for her many. I want to talk a little bit about legacy, because I think that the that we see Rusk's legacy in her children and her grandchildren. And I think about this incredible sense of community, and that friends are family, and everyone's family is big enough to love and engage the world as a friend. I think of the legacy of spirited discussion that Rusk gave to all of her children and grandchildren, and relishing intellectual conversation. I think of the love of art and the honoring of the artistic tradition, of the volunteerism that she's passed to many of her children and grandchildren, and the love of volunteering, not because it's important to do, but because it feeds your soul as well as feeding others. And just the real love of life and the appreciation of living each day. So thank you, Anderson family. Thank you for carrying on Rusk's incredible traditions.
Well, we're here to celebrate Rusk's life and her memory, and it's entirely fitting that we should do this. I'd like to add a couple comments to that and then say something that I hope will be comforting to all. You know, in the time that Rusk and Arnie and a number of others were in the meeting, there were a number of couples in which if you said one name, you sort of implied the other or expressed it. It was really hard to say Rusk without Arnie or Arnie without Rusk. And of course, if you said Rusk and Arnie, there was quite a trailing family connection with that. And I'm looking around and seeing these lovely kids that grew up kids. What do you call them when they're in their 50s and 60s? But I think it is really true that no man is an island entire in itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. And every man's life diminishes me. This is what John said in the 1600s, John Donne said in the 1600s. Every man's life diminishes me because I'm part of all mankind. And we've heard that in many different expressions of approval. But I want to say very crisply to Arnie, after all, Barbara Coffin, who knew Rusk as we all did for 60-some years, Arnie was married to her for 73 years. And how can one offer consolation? Even though, you know, when we got married, we said, until death us depart, none of us ever thought that was going to happen. And I want to say to the Anderson family how important you were, are, I guess I should say, to all of us. And I started out by saying I wanted to say something comforting. And I quote the Roman sage who said that the sum of things is ever being renewed. And mortals live dependent on one another. Some races increase, others diminish. And in a short space, the generations of living things change. Like runners, they pass on the torch of life. And that's really what we are celebrating here. And we have to console ourselves with the idea that we enter this life and know that it is finite, even though we spend our lives denying that, and only on occasions such as these do we really recognize. And in the midst of our loss, we need to think positively about the enormous legacy that we've all had from one another.
My name's Andy Dalton. I'll say Ruth, because Ruth was my sister, my big sister. And she was 14 when I was born, so I was the baby of the family. But Ruthie and Janie, and they were kind of the favorites, my dad always thought, and my brother Jim and myself. And now I'm left. But I keep thinking and remembering that this is a celebration. And I can be sad, and I've had a lot of sad feelings. But it's a celebration of the way Ruthie lived her life. And it's wonderful to hear the stories that you all tell. You know, she started out in life in down at Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and our dad and our mother were both one of seven children. They both grew up on a farm. They were used to hard work and the values of living in the country. And my dad became a lawyer, and they moved to Cape Girardeau and had an orchard. I'm sure that's where she learned to peel apples. They had 5 acres of orchard, and that's kind of the way Ruthie grew up in a small town in southeast Missouri. We were a church family. We attended Methodist church regularly. She grew up in that church. We're kind of old-fashioned. My grandfather didn't drink root beer because of the name beer. They didn't play cards on Sunday. Dad finally played rook, but no other cards on Sunday. We have a favorite story about Minnesota. One time with the Anderson family in the car, Dad was in the car, and we were looking for a place to eat. And we were driving in northern Minnesota, and we pulled into a place, and he looked up and he said, "Grain Belt beer, drive on." So that tells you a little bit about the background of the family that Ruth came from. And I'm so proud of what you're saying about her. And I guess we all think in our lives what our mothers and fathers would say about the way we lived. And I know they would be so proud of her.
My name is Heidi, and I'm a member here at Quaker Meeting, and they say that there's a quickening of the heart sometimes when the Spirit is moving you to speak, and I've been trying to just keep hushing it down, but it keeps rising up. And the thing that rises to mind is that Rusk and Arnie are the epitomization of spawning intergenerational love. Because I know of very few families where I know the great-grandmother, the great-grandfather. I know Renar and Martha through work and their children and been in their home. My husband has been in Rusk and Arnie's home. I've been in Whitney and Susie's home. I know their daughters and their grandchildren and their children, so that's great-grandchildren. So just the word that permeates through and through is intergenerational love that this family has embodied.
I'm Jeff Anderson. I'm one of the 10. And I'm number 2. And I'll try to do better today than I did yesterday. Family was gathered at Lakewood. And we were just sitting there, and I don't know, somehow it seems some of these obligations to stand up and say things seem to fall on me. And I was checking with my big brother, Renner, before yesterday and today, and asked him, "Were you going to say something?" And he wasn't sure, and I said I wasn't sure either, but I thought I should give it a go. And I was thinking, then I held up a little better last night at our family dinner, and we have a family dinner. It's anymore, it's 30, 35, 40 people as it was last night, and I did a little better. And then I heard my dear friend Brahm talk, and if he could get up and talk, certainly I could try to do the same here. And I'd been thinking about things to say about Mom, and I'm pushing 66, so, you know, I can reach back a long time. And we could talk about camping, because that was so important to us, and she was so important in her life as campers and in Boy Scouts, and her love of rivers and visiting rivers and always wondering where rivers came from and where they were going. And I thought, well, maybe I should talk a little bit about what she did for her family. And my brothers and sisters know, if there was one struggle in the family, it was me. Why, I don't exactly know. I look more like my mother than any of the other kids. You know, if you look around, there are 10 kids, there are 4 redheads, and there were 6 dark-haired. And I look most like her, but for whatever reason, I think I was the biggest challenge. And I think my brothers and sisters would agree. But one thing that I can tell you about my mom that was that she always took a particular interest in all of us. And, you know, Renner and I were essentially gone when my baby sister Martha became part of our family. And still, with us being gone and dealing with kids in their 20s and babies that were 1 and 2 and Amy maybe 3 or 4, that she could always relate to what any one of us were doing at any one time and took an interest in what each of us was doing. And that's a long stretch from getting ready to get married to welcoming a new child and sister into the family. But she did tell me one thing repeatedly, as did my dad, that your very best friends in life can be your own family, your own brothers and sisters, if you make an effort to do so. And they made that effort. I mean, when we went to camp, it was always Renner, Jeff, and Kimball. And the girls were always Lucinda, Susanna. And then there was a second family, Whitney, Tyler, and Colin, and Martha and Amy. And always, when we planned things, were to send the kids to do things together. And Mom and Dad always said, you can't have better friends if you work at it than your own family. And that has been true. My very best friends, closest friends, have been my brothers and sisters. And but it didn't stop there. Our cousins, our uncles, our grandparents, all of them were important, and she worked so hard to maintain those relationships and make sure that we maintained our relationships with our cousins and uncles and second cousins and whoever from Missouri, as she did with my dad's Norwegian heritage. And then she went further than that, and we had a big old house, and yeah, we were full in that house. Even so, you know, the 3 boys were 1 room, 3 boys in another room, bunk beds, sharing socks, underwear, the whole thing. But she opened her door to so many different people from around the world that enriched our lives in so many different ways. And we had people from many, many different countries that would live with us for weeks on end, years on end, and there was always room for another one in our family. And both Dad and Mom have done so much for all of us, not only to be curious about different things in life, but curious about different people. And that's done so much for us, enriching our lives with the opportunity to meet people where I don't know how many different countries any one of us could visit, where not too far there has been somebody that has crossed our lives. And like Toru mentioned a few years ago, and he's here from Japan, and his family became part of our family, and they've visited here many times, and I know my folks have gone over and visited them in Japan, and the same with people from Africa, India, Norway, just so many different places that have enriched all of our lives and essentially planted the seed to make sure that our lives were enriched by our brothers and sisters, and we never forget that, and enriched by our grandparents on both sides, our aunts and uncles on both sides, our cousins on both sides, and then reaching beyond that to people from all walks of life, and recognizing that people are different, but still we're all part of one big life. And my mom went a long way, as tough as it was, helping me with that. And I'm forever grateful.
I'm Maylee, and I'm one of the 17 grandchildren. And to know Arnie and Rusk is to know two people who are so very much in love. And this week, when we were getting the program done, Lucinda insisted that I use this very certain printer out in St. Louis Park, and all I could think was, it's so far away from my house, and it would be so much more convenient if I could just use Kinko's in my office building. But when I called the printer to talk about paper, I understood why. And Dwayne at Zip Copy Shop had done Arnie and Rusk's Christmas letters for the past 30 years or so, and he couldn't stay on the phone long enough to tell me about how much he enjoyed seeing the two of them together, and how that the last time they came in, it was like they were on a first date. He said Arnie just doted on her. He couldn't do enough for her. Get her coffee. Did she need more sugar? It was incredible. I couldn't believe it. They'd been together 70 years, and it was like they were on a first date. And I'm really, really grateful to Arnie and Rusk for showing us what it means to really be in love.
Hello, my name is Jambi Mathenge, and I'm originally from Kenya, and, I'm originally from Kenya, and I just wanted to just speak a little bit about the far-reaching influence Arnie and Rusk's lives have had. I have a message from my father, Dr. Robert Mathenge, and just in honor of Rusk and just to describe our friendship and relationship with them. So we, the Mathenge family from Kenya, feel privileged to have known Rusk. Our dad first met Rusk and Arnie in 1992 when he brought a young two young children with heart disease to Minneapolis for treatment, and that's how he initially met Arnie, and an immediate bond was created, and the rest is history. A year later, our family returned to Minneapolis, where my dad ensued in training in cardiology, and Rusk and Arnie became a core part of a small group of people here in Minneapolis that we're proud to have known and have had such strong support and support from, and just the overwhelming welcoming to be a part of their family was such a privilege, and their friendship and knowing them made it feel like we had a home and a family away from home here. I was just slightly over 3 years old when my mom and I joined my father here in Minnesota in 1993, and we made numerous trips to their cabins and near St. Croix River, I think, yeah, St. Croix River, and on Thanksgiving and other occasions, and just a short story that I had shared yesterday during the family meeting of my first winter here being, you know, completely horrified by being pulled on a sled by Arnie and on his tractor, and but so it's been a long friendship, and we just feel so honored to have known them all these years, and my parents wish dearly that they could have been here, and I feel honored to represent them, to stand here and tell you how much they're thinking of you, Arnie, and everyone here in the Anderson family, and just to know that, you know, they had such an amazing influence, not just here, but in Kenya and in Asia and South America. And you know, for my dad, we, you know, enjoyed their incredible generosity, and their free spirit, and just their love for us has been an honor to share with. And so we pray that, you know, her soul will be granted eternal peace, and her memory would just live on in our hearts, and would just continue to share in all that she represented. Thank you.
I'm Soren, the second grandchild. My wife and I were married a little over 10 years ago, and we knew that the Quaker tradition was important to the family, and so we incorporated a time of reflection and sharing into our wedding ceremony, and there were a number of really memorable gifts of words that friends and family shared on that day. Lucinda's husband and Lacey's father, Roy, shared a beautiful poem that he had written decades earlier for a friend's wedding. And Emily's father had really beautiful words of encouragement for us. Both of these people we've lost in the last 5 or 6 years. And there was many people sharing beautiful words, how happy they were for us, and on and on and on, and tears of happiness and laughter. And then Grandma kind of pushed her way out of the pew, and kind of in a, I wouldn't say weak, but a soft but powerful voice said, "Has anyone told you this is going to be hard?" And just like now, the whole audience erupted into laughter, and it was clear that she had more to say, but she realized her point had been made and sat down, and then the audience erupted into laughter again, and that's still you know, whenever friends of ours talk about the wedding 10 years ago, this is the most memorable event. And it's something that my wife and I will definitely remember for the rest of our lives.